Welcome to Threshold Stories, crossing thresholds one story at a time. I'm your host, Jeff Gora.
Episode 101, procrastination at its core. All these have historically been a part of Threshold Stories, which gives a sense that there's a beginning and end because it's a story. But I think this one is really a threshold process because procrastination is a process, not an event in time. So before I jump into the philosophy behind that claim, let me start with a couple of thank yous. First off, thanks to Eric and the folks at Kaz for renegotiating with me the podcasting contract for production of all these things and putting them into a format that you guys can find pleasurable. Thanks to Catherine B. for all her marketing behind the scenes. The odds are if you're seeing this, it's not because I told you about it or you saw it somewhere from me. It was her efforts behind the scene, getting it in front of everybody. Thanks to Natalie and Eric at Powerbar for sponsoring Threshold Academy and our triathlon club. If you haven't already heard it, listen to my podcast I did with Eric about his life as a Powerbar business guy. And let me just jump to the story then. So procrastination isn't really a yes or a no event. A lot of people want to conclude that you either are a procrastinator or you aren't. Well, throughout life, the amount of procrastination we do is a dial that moves more like a speedometer than an empty or full tank. You know, we have times when we procrastinate more than others, and it's based on more than just your circumstance, based on kind of who you are at your core. So it's a spectrum for us. And I had an encounter with somebody last week that made me come up and think about this idea. So as you guys have heard from previous storytelling, I had my own threshold story in life when I flew off a bridge on my bicycle and I should have died. The result from that crash, above all things, really, was this book one in the Seeker Trilogy that I wrote, a fiction piece about life in first century Israel after Jesus had come and gone and before the temple had fallen. And that was a threshold moment for me because I'd had the idea in my mind for plus or minus, 15 years, but I'd procrastinated. I hadn't gotten around to it. So for me, the big deal event started as just writing that book, but it ended up creating a tidal wave. And book two in that trilogy came out, The Emperor in the Ring, and this one is selling quite nicely. Book three is scheduled to come out literally any day. It's already, I've signed off on everything. I've signed off on the cover art, all the internal editing, the ISBN number has been put out there. Relationships are already in place with distribution and Amazon and Barnes and Noble. It's just a matter of time before they stick it up on their website. So book three is going to be available, and that'll be a whole separate podcast. But anyways, I was at physical therapy, recovering from an injury. Part of life as an athlete is dealing with the fact that your body breaks down when you work out. And sometimes it takes more than just a hot tub bath and a good night's sleep and a good meal to restore you back to normal. Sometimes you need some additional help because you damage things along the way. And that's what physical therapy does for an athlete. So while I'm still on the attaboy topic, attaboy to Joe Tedesco at Architect Sports, for the branch that he runs here. He is evolved from my physical therapist to a friend. He's actually a threshold customer. He's got one of these t-shirts. He's going on our trip to the Himalaya in a couple of weeks. So Joe's pretty engaged. But Joe has an apprenticeship model in his industry. I call physical therapy an industry, where young people have to come in and be mentored and tutored and go through a tutelage underneath real PTs before they can actually become one themselves. And he has a girl working for named Katie. Katie, I hope I can use your name. And Katie has done all the hoop jumping there is, and she's just weeks away from completing. I think Thanksgiving, she earns her terminal degree in physical therapy, and she can now pass exams and go to work and make real money as a physical therapist. So for somebody to go along in that room of people trying to matriculate to become a doctor, a physical therapy or doctor of anything like that, they're really good at getting things done, right? Filling out paperwork, and they have deadlines. So although there is procrastination, the procrastination that occurs is very much governed by the bodies that are dropping deadlines on you. You have to finish a semester by a certain time. You need so many credits to graduate. You have to pay your tuition bill by such and such a date or else. So procrastination is kind of muffled by folks who are in school, by the people who run the school. But because she's a so far advanced educationally, you know she's good at playing the game of getting things done. And I wanted to give her a copy of my second book. There's a summary of the first book at the start of the second, so you really don't have to read the first to know it's in the first. And I felt that there was a chance I was going to give it to her and she was going to be polite and say thank you, but she wouldn't read it, right? She would procrastinate, partly because she's trying to finish up a life goal of hers of earning this degree, but partly because we all commit to more than we can do, right? People say, you need to do this, and you agree with them, and you never do it. Or somebody suggests you join a group or connect with somebody online and say, let's chat, and then you never do. It's got good intent, but you never finish what you start. And, you know, tying up loose ends on a process is, you know, a form of procrastination. So my thought was, if I give her this book as is, what's to prevent her from putting it on the shelf and never reading it? Is there something I could say or do to perhaps help her along in that process? You know, motivation is best if it's internal, right? We shouldn't be the case that the outside world is causing you to do something. You should do it because you want to do it, right? That makes you hunger for it and you become labeled as a self-starter, et cetera. So my thought was, what can I give Katie with this book that can act as something to motivate her to actually sitting down and reading the thing? And I went back into my previous career, and my marketing director at that time and I stole an idea from somebody else about creating a little mnemonic device to give to people to convince them not to procrastinate. And I'd made some of those when I started Threshold Academy a couple of years ago, but I haven't really used that many of them. I maybe have used 10 or 20 throughout, so they're not commonplace giveaways. And I decided that I had one right next to the box that I had my seating books, right? So the act of me giving this book to Katie was, as the marketers would call it, was a seating event. She's the kind of person who I believe would read it. She's family-focused. She's young. She's intelligent. She wants to make a difference. And that's all the characters in this book. That's who they are. And they all take great risks in order to make a difference. And that's part of the theme of the book. And sometimes the risks pay out for them, but they always have a price. Whenever you take a big risk in life, there's always a consequence or a price you have to pay. And the characters in the book pay a price. And I thought it would touch her. And maybe it still will. Anyways, I gave her the book, but when I gave her the book, I decided to motivate her by giving her one of these little coasters that literally my cup is sitting on right here. And so the mnemonic behind the coaster is, we all say that in life we're going to do that, and we're going to get around to it. That's the claim we say. I'm going to get around to it. You know, your wife asks you to mow the grass. You say, hold on a second, I'll get around to it. I'll get it done this weekend, whatever. So this is round. And on the back side of it, it says to it. And there's another picture of it you can see right here. So when I gave her the book, simultaneous with it, I gave her a little story. And then I gave her the round to it. And I said, keep them together. So when you set this down and you want to pick it up and read, you can say, okay, let me get around to reading this book. Because truth be told, if you're finishing a PhD or a doctorate in something, you can read fiction pretty quickly because you're used to reading, you know, literature that's anything but easy to read. So it's only a couple hours cover to cover to read the book. So I gave it to her. So I'm looking forward to having a conversation with her about how far along she's gotten. My hope is I don't hear, I started on it and I got a couple of pages, couple of chapters into it. And I stopped because that's, you know, that's kind of normal for the student mentality. So the question is, what is it that you need to help motivate you to following through on your commitments? This is just a form of accountability. That's really the role that this little coaster is taking. And it's a coaster, so it sits here, right here on my podcasting table, so I can get around to it. So the question is not really, are you a procrastinator or not? The question is, where do you sit on that spectrum? And if you need some help, what do you want to do to go get it? The odds are you're a procrastinator only in a few places in your life, not in everything. Most of us have lots of people whom we know who are not procrastinators when it comes to getting food in their mouths. As soon as hunger arrives, they do not procrastinate. they immediately go to taking care of it and eating. Yet we all know people who are, I'm going to call them experts at procrastinating about taking care of themselves. You know, they say, I'm going to go for a walk tomorrow, or I'm going to sign up for a race sometime later this year. So everybody in the triathlon club who's listening, pick a race before this year is over and do it. Don't wait till next year to get around to it, to get on something on your club. And just like you guys, I'm guilty of this. I have the national championships in long course duathlon coming up in about 3 weeks. And I'm not as prepared as I have been in the past. Normally, I look forward to competing in this one because this is the race that I have a great shot at getting the podium on for my age group. But this time I'm going to have to just go for racing for fun because I don't have my weight low enough right now to be competitive on a half Ironman distance event like that. So I've had to change my forecast as a result to not getting around to it when it comes to certain things. Certainly my fitness is there, but that's not the only part of a formula for a national champion. Stay tuned. Episode 102 will be coming up next.
Thanks for listening to this chapter of Threshold Stories, Crossing Thresholds, One Story at a Time. Get ready to cross more thresholds with me in 2 weeks. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or on my Facebook page at Jeff Gora Team USA.